Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Jeanette Blair. Jeanette is the author of the book, Tears Behind My Smile. And I just can't wait to talk to her and share her story with you so that you can be inspired by her journey. Welcome, Jeanette.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let me give you a brief summary of Jeanette's book. And like I said, it's stick around because this is going to be a really great conversation. And by the way, our topic today is going to be life lessons from an abandoned girl. So this is a summary of Jeanette's book, Tears Behind My Smile. It's a long life journey of an abandoned girl who faced challenges in every walk of her life and the strength that she gains from each experience she suffers. It is not an autobiography with an ordinary beginning and a predictable ending. Instead, the book depicts a series of emotions occurring in the author's life and how she alters herself from a self-pitying girl into a strong, resilient woman. It would enlighten the readers on not to depend on anyone and become the superhero in their own story. Now, before we went on air, Jeanette mentioned that she was from Jamaica, and I'm from Guyana, and I too had a story that I wrote a book about. So this is going to be very interesting. So right off the bat, Jeanette, please give us some context of your story of the abandoned girl becoming a superhero. Fill us in on your backstory.
So I was born, as you know, in Jamaica, and it's just a little, it's a small community that called Bellevue Heights in Jamaica. And while growing up, I didn't know a mother. I didn't have a mother. I didn't, you know, I was always wondering, who is my mother? Where is my mother? And why have I not seen one? And so it was a hard life, really. I went through where I had tons of stepmother who was not really parents material at all. And so growing up, I was beaten. I was not allowed to eat food from a certain person's house. And all because he had a thing going with my father, and they had a fight, and he decided, okay, this child can never step into my house, and this child will never eat food from my house. And so there was a time when my sisters would hide food around the house just to feed me. And I'm talking about being a baby. I can't tell you how young I was, but I remember being afraid of this one person. And I couldn't enter the house. I would stay outside the gate just looking in. All the other children were there playing, but I couldn't join them. Wow. I was like a nobody's kid. And wow. So with that, I remember until this day, I don't remember how old I was, but I remember getting a small cup of tea and a piece of bread. And I looked around and he was coming. And he said, if you put that to your mouth, I am going to kill you.
Oh my goodness.
No, as a baby, I'm just standing there. And I remember my sister mother was saying, hurry up, take a bite real quick, take a bite.
Wow.
But I was so afraid of this guy that I couldn't do it. And he came over, he took the cup from me, and he just poured the tea right beside me on the ground. And he took the bread and he threw it to the dog. Ooh. And I stood there because now I am fighting tears as a child. Fighting tears because if I cry, that's a whipping.
Oh, wow.
Because why are you crying? Who hit you?
Wow.
So I stood there and he just watching me and I'm tense. I can't cry.
Wow.
And then my father brought in a woman to help look after me. And she was even worse than him. And I remember, as a child, and I remember getting this little dress, like a fairy dress. But I remember, I don't remember the color, but I remember it was sort of poofy. Mm-hmm. So that little dress was my favorite. And each time I would wear it. And I remember one night, this lady that was supposed to be taking care of me lit the dress in fire.
Oh, wow.
While I was in it.
Wow.
And I'm crying. I'm crying. My dress is on fire. I'm crying.
Wow.
And I remember her brother. I can't say what the name of the brother is, but I remember the brother rushed towards me to put the blaze out and she fought him off.
Wow.
And I'm there scared. And it so happened that my dad was outside on the front porch. We call it veranda, but in Jamaica.
Right.
And he came in and somehow got me out of the dress, put the blaze out and put her outside. But for about a couple of minutes, she was right back. And she did all sort of evil things to me. Looking the dinner.
That is an amazing story of cruelty for a child.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm understanding is that your dad was looking after you and you didn't have a mom. And we know that women or men or whoever is the stepchild is, you have like the Cinderella story where they don't want to treat, the other person's child well. It's a common occurrence. I was just talking to someone a couple of days ago in the Caribbean, right? And it's not that prevalent in North America because you always hear about these blended families. The father has four kids and he married a woman with four kids and they live like the Brady Bunch. It happens here in North America, or at least America, but right. In the Caribbean, it's a totally different vibe. So I understand the women treating you badly, but I don't understand this guy that was so cruel to you that didn't want you to eat. Who was that person? Do you remember who that person was?
Yes, until this very day, I still don't go close to him, and he's still alive. That guy was the stepfather of my siblings. And so what had happened, my father, which is their mom, my sister's mom, and my father, I think he wanted to get back with her. And so she was seeing that man and it caused a fight. And my father whipped him real good. So I became that fat that was fried, he was frying me with that fat. And so he kept that grudge against my dad and he took it out on me.
What? What if my mother? I hope he's suffering because, you know, all that bad karma that you would hate a small child. Anyway, he's obviously getting it back right now. Because that is a despicable thing to do. Now I understand the same with the women that were supposed to be your mother and set your dress on fire because they want to hurt you. Wow. Now I'm very interesting to hear how you transitioned all this cruelty into adulthood. And I know that, did you ever find your mom?
Oh yeah, she didn't want me. So it's not like I really didn't have a mother. She didn't want me. She was mad at my dad for not marrying her. And so when her mom heard that she was actually going through a rough time, her mom, you know, visit, saw what was going on and took her home. But she left me behind because I was the fourth child, but at that time she had 5 children. And so she just didn't want me.
Well, just you or what about the other 4?
She went with the other 4. She left me.
Wow. You did have a rough start, girl. You did have a rough start.
She left me. And
it's
so
everywhere, huh?
Right. And so after going through so many different stepmothers and stuff like that, I wanted to find her. And finding my mother, sometimes I sit down and I wonder, why did you do it? You know, because I had this stepmother that was really good to me. And she was murdered in front of me when I was 15.
Oh my goodness, your story keeps getting worse. My goodness. All right, so you finally found somebody that was nice to you, and then you witnessed a murder. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Right. Yes. They came knocking, and I told her, I said, don't open the door, because we had a power outage that evening, and there was no light. And I whispered to her, don't open the door. I'm scared. Don't open the door. So she didn't open the door. But they used someone who she knew to come and knock the door saying, hey, I need your help. But something within me was saying something is wrong.
Something's wrong, right?
Right. And I was 15. Mm-hmm. I was 15. And they fired one shot through the window. It hit her in her face, in her mouth, and she was died at my feet.
Ooh. Were they trying to rob her, or what was the reason?
She had witnessed a robbery, and she could have identified them.
Oh, right. Of course, this is Jamaica. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that is quite a story, you know. I got an apt title, Tears Behind My Smile. So, I think I asked you if you found your mom. What is your relationship with your parents today?
I found my mom and then realized she didn't want me, but I didn't have any choice but to stay with her. Oh. While staying with her, it was a nightmare, but I needed better for myself. And I wanted to go to school, and I was saying, okay, this is time for you to help me. This is time for, you know, I've been working since I was a little girl, cleaning people's house, washing their laundry, just to go to school. So here I am, I'm leaving what we call elementary, going to high school now, and I need help. So when I asked someone to help me find her, I found out she was living about 30 miles from where I was.
One of the best things you can do to improve your health is to get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every night. I know it's hard to get that much sleep, but listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and make it harder to lose weight. Would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you get enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't get enough of it. which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they wouldn't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you'll be amazed by how much better you sleep. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/transformyourmind to save up to 42%. Again, you can save up to 42% on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to magbreakthrough.com/transformyourmind.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So you found her and you moved in with her.
Moving with her, she had at the time 1 small boy living with her, and I think it was my other 4 sisters that was living.
Mm-hmm.
3 sisters. I'm the 4th girl. The 3 sisters living mm-hmm. at home, and she was trying to make an excuse as to not to let me stay there. Because
she was full, right? Okay.
She was asking, where are you going to sleep? I don't have any space for you.
Yeah, right. I knew it. Yeah. I don't got no space, right? You know, but Jamaicans, you can sleep on the floor, you know.
Right. So her fiance, her husband now, which was her fiance at the time, asked her, why are you finding reasons to not help her? Didn't you hear her story? Didn't you listen to what she was saying to you?
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay. But I was in misery.
You were what?
In misery. It's almost like I was not welcome there. And then one of my sisters found out how much she despises me, and she took over. Mm. And that sister would make up a lie. Something she knew that I have nothing to do with. And she would look me in the eye and she would say, I am going to go tell our mother this. And I would say, well, you know, that's not true. And she said, I know it, but she will believe it.
Wow. Wow. You know, how can one person go through all this? No wonder you're saying, why are you smiling? All right, so when did life turn around for you?
I think I went on my own when, I think I live a rough life all through life. And really? But I was able to put the pieces together, laugh about stuff. And when I was told by my mother that you will not become anything,
ooh.
I said, mm-mm.
Wow.
No, I can't believe
wow.
that.
She's even cursing you. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And I said, She stopped sending me to school and she said, you will not become anything. So I will not spend my money on you. And so I had to pick up myself. And I asked one of her sisters if I could move in with her. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. She took me with her and she took me to her job while she was working. And I was the one doing most of the work, but I didn't care because I see a shining light. I see better days ahead. I am no longer in this house. I'm with my aunt. Yes, I have to work, but it was a better aim for me to get to do what I want to become.
Okay.
So I move in with Hunt and I work. And then when I was able to apply for a job on my own into the hotel, I did that.
Okay.
And then I go back to school. I wanted to do a lot of stuff, but I went back to school and I did a front desk procedure so I could work in the hotel.
Okay.
With that, I was on my own at one point and I was just doing me, just enjoying me. Mm-hmm. But I would still get a call or like, mom needs this, this is happening, that is happening. And I was always here. And so in 2000, I said, you know what? God, please move me away as far as possible from these people. And I came to America.
You came the same time I came over here too. Right, 2000, huh? Okay, all right. So you came over to America. Was it better in America?
It was better while I was working. It was better. And I met a guy. I wasn't looking, but of course I met a guy. And at first I thought, I'm not here to get into a relationship. By this time I had my daughter because I have one child. But I want to come to America, the Big Apple, Uncle Sam's country, where the grass was greener.
Right.
That's what I thought. And yes, I work. Yes, life was a little better. You have more opportunities here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I dated the guy for, I think, almost 2 years. And so I was traveling. I went to Indiana. I spent a year, I think about 4 months there. I went back to Jamaica. And then I came back and I went to Mississippi and I spent, I want to say maybe 6 weeks, because Mississippi was not for me, honey.
Well, it's probably close to Jamaica, right? I've never been to Mississippi, but I'm assuming it will be pretty close, right?
Mississippi, Biloxi, Mississippi to be exact, and where I experienced people walking with flags that says no blacks allowed.
Ah, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Down south. Yes. I got you. All right. So what happened to this guy?
Okay. So he sent me a ticket to come to Las Vegas and I visit Las Vegas. I got a job within the first week I was here. But then as my luck would have me, the paper run out, the visa run out for working, and he did a 360 switch. So now I don't have papers to work and I can't work and I don't have money coming in. So that was a no-no. And so you met somebody, you date them for almost 2 years, right? And then you would think that he would understand what's going on. When I invite him to Jamaica, he spent 11 days with me there. So it's not like it was, okay, I need papers, blah, blah, blah. He knew that I couldn't stay in the country without proper papers. So he said, okay, I'll do this. And I really don't want to lose you. So let's just get married and get the papers done with, because I don't want to lose you. Ooh, I wish that was true. Because we got married, I think it was October 28th, 2001, I believe. And by Thanksgiving, I was beaten. Kicked out of the apartment that I paid for. And I was taken to the hospital. From the hospital, I ended up in Safeness, which is a shelter for domestic
violence.
Wow.
Boy, you have had quite a life. My goodness. My goodness. All right. I can't wait to hear the end of this story. So you're still in America. So what happened?
So there was a restraining order filed against him, But of course, I don't have papers. What am I going to do? Where am I going to work? Nevada is a right to work state, but the right to work means you have the right to work. You have papers to work. That's what that means. And so not knowing what to do, and he's calling me because he want me to drop the case. No, I'm hiding and I'm seeing him. And he's promising me everything that he never did. And so I try to drop the case, but after the O.J. Simpson case, you know, they didn't let them drop the case. They took it up. The state took it up. Mm-hmm. And he has to go through anger management class for a few months. Well, mm-hmm. And he was mad about that. So now he's not hitting me anymore. But the words.
The what? The words?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't physical.
But you guys got back together. You were still married. Okay.
Yes,
you went
we're
back.
Still married. Right. I went back. Because I need this paperwork done. And so when it wasn't physical anymore, but it was mental
abuse. Yes.
Abuse. It became mental.
Right.
And so I have to talk myself through days and night. And I have a good friend, childhood friend, living in New York. And I would call her every day, every night. There wasn't a day that I didn't cry, a night that I didn't cry, a hour that I wasn't crying. And he was just ruthless. And I got a job to clean houses. And so one of the ladies told me, she said, my vacuum broke and can you take your vacuum? He dropped me off because money was involved. And when it was time for him to come and pick me up, he told me to take the bus and make sure that I could take the vacuum with me. So here I am on the bus with the vacuum. When I was going on the bus, the driver said, everyone move over. The cleaning lady's coming. And if I could hide.
He was probably just making a joke. But anyway, yeah.
But it wasn't funny.
Yeah, right. But, yeah.
And if I could hide, I would. But fast forward to everything else, I was able to get my papers done.
Good for you.
I stick it out. I became silent to everything that was going on. I didn't have a say in much of what was going on. I got jobs, had hens and stuff until I was able to really, really work. And I have no say. But in the meantime of having no say, I learned to drive because I couldn't drive. And I paid to learn to drive. And then one day I asked him to, you know, lend me one of his car because he had two and I was taking the bus still.
Wow.
And so one day he got mad and wanted to charge me to use the car.
Wow. Yes. You know, I'm now seeing the title of your book because yes, if you're smiling now, there's a lot of tears behind that smile. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is an amazing story. So what made you decide to write the book and tell about, so you've gone through these horrible things from the minute you were born and then you went into these relationships, but you know, something in life, that's basically how it happens. You know what I mean? When you have, when you were not nurtured as a child,
right,
for some reason, we also get into these adult relationships where it's an amazing thing. People are, you know, this guy is obviously a narcissist, you know, and you attracted him. Like you said, oh, I met this guy, you know, but you know, they're attracted to people that they think that they can abuse. Because it's part of your psyche. You don't even know that you are transmitting it, but you are transmitting it.
I want to talk about sludge. It happens after you drive your vehicle for a while. It's a buildup of motor oil that gels, then collects dirt, metals, and unburned fuel. Sludge prevents oil from getting to the critical engine parts it's designed to protect. You'll notice your vehicle running rough, stalling, even vibrating. That's because friction is damaging your engine. Gilcat ProLine is the solution. The science was engineered for aerospace, tested in racing, and used by our military. Now, you can use this well-kept secret to protect your engine from future buildup, extend the life of the vehicle, and save on repair costs. Order at gilcat.com. gilcat.com.
Welcome to Authenticity Atlas Podcast, where your two hosts, Tati
and Dana. We are two corporate professionals and best friends, and we want to openly share our journeys from living in low self-worth to discovering a life of authenticity and high self-worth.
We talk about all areas of life, such as wellness, spirituality, relationships, astrology, manifestation, and many other topics.
We will be also sharing some of our most intimate and personal stories, so get ready.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is such a great American experience, losing the virginity at the prom night to a prom king. Ooh.
In a way, like, I started believing that I was crazy and that nobody else would want me, because that's how he kind of made it seem, and I believed him.
The second time around, you pick exactly what you want. So I would like to say that I'm not single. I'm in between husbands right now.
Just because I've done bad things before, or what I would consider bad, doesn't mean that I'm a bad person.
I can't wait to share all of these tools with the world. Buckle up and get ready for the ride of your lives on the Authenticity Atlas Podcast.
So why did you decide to write the book? And perfect title, The Tears Behind My Smile.
One of the reason I wanted to write the book, I know that I am not alone in this. I am not the only person going through what I was going through. And for me, if I can help someone to say, hey, don't take your life, because sometimes when you read the news and the news, people kill themselves because they were going through certain abuse that they didn't know where to turn to. Right. And I said, if I can help somebody to let them know, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. And you're stronger than you think you really are. You know, so get up, pick yourself up. Love you first, you know? And yeah, as I said, I wanted to let others know they are not alone.
So in the book, did you help women? I know you talked about when you were going through that abuse and you had to stay because you needed something out of the relationship. So you had to stick it out. So in the book, do you give women some of what you did in order to stick with this horrible situation because the marriage has a purpose?
I turned to God. And with all that was going on, you have to hang on to Jesus, hang on to him, because at that time you have no one else but him. Right. And so a lot of us said, yeah, we believe in God and yes, he will help us. But do you really, really believe that he can bring you through? And I'm here to say, yes, those are the days when I really, because there's a part where I said, I find God in those moments.
Right.
There was no other person. Well, there was friends, but they can only tell you so much. But now you have to use faith. Mm-hmm. Because it said faith is a substance of things, or for the evidence of things not seen. Right. So, yes, I'm walking through fire.
Right.
But I'm not walking alone. Yeah. I'm not walking alone. God is with me through these times.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I know. But you also said that you called your friend every night. Different so you had support.
I have support.
And, you know, and wow, yes. And so, yeah, so your book is basically your story. And mm-hmm. you also say that you want to tell women how to become strong, resilient women and not to depend on anybody, but become the superhero in their own story. That's from their bio. So, mm-hmm. So what are you teaching them to become a superhero? So to become independent or, sure. you know, hang on to God or, yeah. What is your take on that?
To me, it's a little of both, because you can't do this thing by yourself. You need God. But at the same time, don't just sit and say, I can't do this. Don't just sit and say, this is what I saw my mom and dad did. And go through the same pain when you can get up. You might not have the dream job that you want, but when you're independent and when you're working your own money, In Jamaica, we have a thing that we call our get vexed money. Mm-hmm. So if someone said, well, you need to buy dinner, you shouldn't be saying, where am I going to get money from? You should be saying, I'm good with that. That's cool. Right. Don't ever totally sit down and depend on a guy.
Right.
Because then they're rootless to you. You have no other choice. But when you make better choice in your life mm-hmm. to get away from narcissists and get away from abuse, mm-hmm. they can't hold that against you because they're not taking up a penny in the pockets and said, hey, here.
Yeah.
And mistreat you first before they give it to you or maybe not even giving it to you. But learn something, go work, do something. Go to McDonald's, go work, do something.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you clean houses. You know, some people would sit down and say, I don't want to clean houses. I don't want to work at McDonald's. You know what I mean? That's very true. But I also want to circle back to something that you said where, you know, I don't remember if you said that the relationship with this guy was good before you got married, but you did say that a month after you got married, you turned into a monster. But what I want women that are listening to understand is we don't want to bypass what exactly happened there. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact that when you're totally dependent on a man, that's mm-hmm. when he treats you like a dog. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you're totally dependent on him. So you're right. Very correct. If you have your own money, but you couldn't because you didn't have any papers, you couldn't, right. you didn't have a work permit. You had right. to wait until you applied for it. But whenever you're depending on a man, I mean, listen, you know, I have seen those movies. I mean, I haven't experienced it, you know, in my own life, but I've seen the movies where the man is controlling everything. And the woman has got to tell him where she's going, when she's coming back. You know what I mean? And he treats her like a slave. He treats her horribly. And then he beats her too, right?
Right.
And guess what? She runs away for a little bit and goes to the shelter. And then she goes back. She goes back because she doesn't have anything to support herself. So you're definitely right. You have to, if there's anything that's coming out of this story, other than your horrible childhood, nothing you can do but that. But when you become an adult, right, you're still going to attract the same thing because your aura is that. When you've been abused as a child, somehow you attract narcissists and psychopaths because they can tell that whatever happened to you as a child is beating you down and that maybe you will be a good subject for them. They can tell that. They can pick it up. But if we're gonna leave a life lesson, right? Mm-hmm. You know, story. Right. The topic here is life lessons from an abandoned girl. Right. Is that yes? Find yourself a job. Mm-hmm. Do something. Have a little bit of money coming in because when you have a little bit of money coming in, that gives you power. That gives you power to walk. If you can't walk, you have no power, right? Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. So. All right. So you also said that there's a part of the book was the most fun to write. So tell us about that. So you wrote the book, you told your story, and most of it is a bad story. So what was fun about it?
Well, looking back to some of the childhood with my sister when we were living together, even though we were poor, we got into little trouble here and there as children. And I remember, sometimes I still remind her of that day, we had a bar of soap to do laundry. And we have a pet pig that pig eat from the dinner table, everything cooked, that it was like part of the family. And somehow she placed the soap down to its reach, not paying attention to what she was doing. And it picked it up and was running with it. And she has to chase that pig down, jump on the back of the pig, grab onto both of the ears and shake it. And I'm standing there. I'm standing there trying not to really laugh because she don't find it funny, but she's not seeing what I'm seeing.
Right.
So those days, you know, come back to mind.
So you didn't have play days. My goodness. Okay. From your story, I'm thinking you didn't have any play days. So hey, you didn't have play days. And you said that one of your sisters was very mean to you, but obviously you had a relationship with, you said you had three sisters. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I have sisters by both parents. Right. And my 14-year-old sister raised me.
Oh, wow.
Right. So she was like my mom. Okay. So even now, some days I call her and I reminded her about something and we laugh about stuff like that. Okay. And I called her and I remember this guy. I don't know where he's from, but he come to her house every morning for breakfast. And I called her and I said, do you remember that guy? Where was he from? And she was like, I don't know. But she feeds everybody.
Wow.
So we talk
She's
about
got
that.
A good heart. Nice.
Yes. We talk about that because I still remember, you know, that. And I remember days when we used to laugh because we were hungry and our stomach was making funny sounds. And we turn it into
wow.
And we turn it into jokes.
Wow.
And to see who, like, do you remember the morning your stomach was growling? And we turn it into a joke to see whose was louder. And have a look of course, like when I grew up and when I start dating, and I remember this guy that I actually, I think he was the only real, like the one that I actually described. And it was memory for me to describe him, how he was and stuff like that.
Was this the one in Jamaica?
Yeah, this was in Jamaica.
Okay.
This was in Jamaica. And I describe him as, it looked like he had just stepped out of one of a favorite famous magazine.
All right, I'm getting the picture.
So there are moments, yeah, when you look back into certain things and you bust out laughing, like, oh my God, that was really funny.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, your life had more pain than pleasure, but at least you're able to find some pleasure. And like, yeah, when you're writing an autobiography, then you know, I'm glad that you were able to remember some good times as well. So, but you said that the it didn't have a predictable ending. So, I mean, I don't want you to tell us because you want people to go out and get the book.
Right.
But where are you now as far as in life? Are you, have you turned into a resilient woman? Has the pain of your past turned you into someone that is, you know, what did you learn? That's probably a better question from this journey that makes you a better woman today.
I didn't sit down and point fingers because you didn't do that for me, then I couldn't do this.
You know, that's a good one.
After times, that's what you see happening. My mom didn't do this, or my husband did me this, and this is the reason why I'm doing that.
It's called blame, actually. Let's label it correctly.
Right.
Blame. And when you blame others, right? You take away your power. So that's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I didn't blame anyone. To me, I learned a lot. And there was times when I had no choice but to learn real fast. Because you can't let the same person just getting over on you and you just sitting down looking like a fool. No.
Right.
So I remember one time he said, who have you been talking to? You're learning fast. And I told him, this is my ex. I told him, you're a great teacher.
Yes.
Great teacher. Yes. And I said, yes. And I am an obedient student.
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So that's actually a good way to, you know, we all have a story. Some stories are worse than others, and you had a pretty dark one, but you've come out saying, okay, let's look at it. You know, your mom abandoned you, your dad didn't do much better. You had enemies as a child that treated you bad. You had some sisters that treated you bad. You had men that treated you bad, but yet you're smiling, which is basically what your book is called, The Tears Behind the Smile, because you came to America, you got your papers, you're still here, you're proceeding along life regardless of the past. And you're not blaming anyone. You're taking full control of your life. Right. And you're saying that this is what I want to do with it. Mm-hmm. Sure, it was bad, but guess what? Where there's life, right? There's hope. You hold on to God. He teaches you that I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, right? Mm-hmm. And so you hold on to scriptures like that. And you know that, you know, your past is not going to equal your future. So very good. So I'm glad that you wrote the book and sharing your story. And you're very right. When someone reads the story, because they might have a story where they were beaten as a child or maybe they didn't get love. But when they hear all the things that you had to go through, they were saying to myself, wow, mine wasn't that bad. Right. So why am I sitting down and blaming somebody when Jeanette had to go through 100 times worse and she's here smiling?
Right. I am considered one of the comedian of the family too. So I find things to laugh about and I crack myself up sometimes, even by myself. Right. Even by myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I love it. All right. So how can listeners pick up a copy of your book? And if you're on social media, you can tell us how we can contact you. I know you have a website as well. So give us that.
So yes, I am on social media, but I also have a JeanetteBlair.com. And you go there, you can read about the book right there as well. You can see what others are saying about the book. And within that same website, it will lead you to Amazon, it will lead you to eBooks, it will lead you to Google Books, Barnes & Noble, and a lot more.
Good. Awesome. So it's available everywhere, where books are sold. That's amazing. All right. So if you guys didn't hear, that is JeanetteBlair.com. I would have a link to her book, to her book as well as to her website on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. So if you head over there, then you would get the links, so that you can definitely support her and order her book, inspire yourself. You know, maybe you were a battered woman or you were an abandoned child, and you know, listening to her story would resonate with you in certain ways and allow you to say, well, you know what? I mean, I doubt you'll have a worse story. Hers is the worst I've heard, right? So now you can say, well, you know, if Janet did it, then I can do it too. So that's basically all you need to do. Yeah. If she can come through all that, then I can do the same thing too. There's no excuse for me to be sitting down, blaming somebody and saying it's because I didn't have a mother, or because my father treated me bad, or because men treated me bad, or whatever, because you are the captain of your ship. Right? Yes. Right. So awesome. All right. So what was your social media handle? So we get it on the website, or you can tell us.
They, if you go to the janetbeard.com, it takes you everywhere.
Okay. All right. So we will get the social media handles there. Okay. So I will definitely link out to you when I post a snippet of our interview on social media. I will definitely tag you so that you can also share it with your fan base. All right, Janet, it was an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your journey. I know as you're recounting it, there are some painful memories, and I can tell that, you're still connected to some of them. So I'm glad that you were able to write a book about it. It's actually a good way to, get it out of your system, download it, free yourself, you know what I mean? And in the meantime, you're helping other women, right?
Right. And not only other women, but I also work with DCFS. So I work with children.
Okay.
I work with children. Uh-huh. And I, counsel them as well. And I see their pain and I can understand what they're going through. And I'm able to counsel with them and, help them through most of, whatever is happening.
Well, that's amazing because, in Jamaica, they don't have that. But over here, they do, for abandoned kids. So that's perfect. That's awesome. So you're giving back to the community in several different ways. So I applaud you for that. So thanks again for coming on the show. Any last words before we wrap up?
I also have an upcoming book too, another book coming that called Pardon Me, But You're Stepping on My Heart.
Okay. You said it's a book tour or a book?
Book and a second book coming up.
Oh, good for you. Well, look at her. She has become an author.
No.
That is beautiful. Of course, if you head to our website, then you'll be able to, get a copy of that book as well when it comes out. It's amazing. Right. Well, congratulations. That's Thank awesome. You. Right. I'm proud of what you've done with your life. So excellent. I applaud you. Right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thanks for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio podcast and television show. I love bringing you guests that can inspire you and help you to change your mindset. So today, the mindset that we wanted to change, that we all have a story. And, we don't have to be bound to our story. We can rise up. You know what I mean? You can rise up and leave that story behind, because how you start is not how you're supposed to end. So thank you guys for tuning in. And until next time, namaste.